Good morning. We're looking at the last in the I Ams today. Last, second to last, penultimate. And I've been looking at I Am the True Vine, which we find in John's Gospel. And I just wanted to remind you of something John writes a little later on in chapter 20, verse 31. He says to us, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So I just wanted to remind you really that John thought very carefully about what he recorded, the things specifically that he wanted remembered, and the conversations he'd had with Jesus himself that he felt would really open people's hearts and help them understand what having faith in Jesus and God was. And when we find this conversation where Jesus tells his disciples he is the true vine, it's just before he's arrested, just before he's betrayed, and he's spending this time with his disciples, and he's comforting and encouraging them in this dark time. He's trying to explain what's about to happen and why. And just before the verses we're looking at, he's promised the Holy Spirit. He's explained that it's a counselor who will never leave them and will continue to teach them and can continue to remind them of him. And now he's going on to describe himself to them as the true vine. So we're looking at John 15. We're going from verses 1 to 17. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Whenever Jesus says, "I am," I feel that we learn an awful lot about him, his character, and therefore about God's character. But it seems we then go on to learn even more about ourselves, about discipleship, and what it means and what it looks like to live in relationship with the Father. We almost get practical tips for daily living as a Christian. So in this, we find that first, Jesus is the true vine. A vine being a very humble crop farmed across the land, something people could relate to, something with high productivity, high value, something cultivated, fruitful. But not just this, Jesus is the true vine. He's not just a wild vine. He doesn't fail to give fruit. He doesn't bear false fruit. He's fulfilling his purpose. He is ever bountiful, ever fruitful, a true vine. And the second thing we learn is about God. God is the gardener or the vine dresser. He's tending and caring. He is cultivating this vine that is Jesus. Reminds us that God isn't just a creator God. He didn't create everything and step back. He's continually putting in work. He was still working in his son Jesus when he was here on earth. And he works in his disciples. He is an involved God, tending and caring for his creation. So we've learned that Jesus is the vine and God is the gardener. And then we learn that thirdly, the disciples are the branches. Now these disciples he's speaking to very directly, very personally. But I think it's very safe to assume that discipleship means that we follow in the footsteps of those men that were hearing him, and we are the branches to this vine. These branches spread out in all directions, and they bear fruit. Bearing fruit, being fruitful, is hugely important. It's mentioned about 8 times that you are to bear fruit, to be fruitful. We clearly have a job to do. And by bearing fruit, verse 8 tells us that we're showing ourselves to be his disciples. And Jesus tells them he chose them and appointed them to bear fruit. He didn't just choose them, he appointed them for something very specific, a job to do. This is something that's been coming back to me ever since Cluedo Challenges Week this summer, is that we have a job to do. And it's not just any old job. It's appointed by God, appointed by Jesus. We have been chosen for it. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, in the true vine, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The gardener has been tending and cultivating and preparing for us to bear this fruit. So what is this fruit, this job we have to do? Well, some say these specific disciples at that moment in time, he was talking specifically about spreading his word, making himself or his life and teachings known to others, converting people, bringing people to Christ, that it was a very specific fruit for them. But we also find fruitful living described further on in the New Testament, and specifically the fruits of the Spirit, which you can't not mention when looking at the true vine. In Galatians 5, we hear that the fruit of the Spirit is love, first and foremost. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of Christian living, of living in that true vine. And this fruit is fruit for all. It's not just something we gain from. If we're living a life full of these fruits, then every life we touch is going to be blessed by that. It affects the whole community when we bear fruits of the Spirit. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. So Jesus is the vine and God is the gardener and we are the branches. And the Holy Spirit flows in all these branches, in all directions. As I said, Jesus has just explained the Spirit to his disciples, that it will remain with them, and it's going to remain with them individually. Now, after Jesus' death and resurrection and the Great Commission, they don't all stick together in one little club anymore. They've got jobs to do, and they go off and do different jobs in different places. And Jesus couldn't have been with each of them at each point when he was here as a man. But the Holy Spirit is with each of them all the time in all they do. So this Holy Spirit spreads through all the branches in all directions, nourishing and flowing through the vine. These branches cannot bear fruit on their own. Not separate from the plant. You picture a plant and cut through one branch, you know it can never bear fruit. It's not possible because the nourishment isn't there. It needs to be attached to the plant. It needs to be rooted in Jesus to receive the Holy Spirit. A fruit would not be in abundance without pruning as well. You get wild vines, and they climb all over walls and have a few grapes on them scattered about. But to have a really fruitful, bountiful vine, to get a good harvest from it, it needs to be cultivated and tended and cared for. It needs to be pruned. You need the care and attention of a vine dresser to get a really bountiful harvest from a vine. We need God's input, his tender, loving care, his involvement, as well as the Spirit nourishing us, as well as being rooted in Jesus. Remember that we are created in Christ Jesus. Being in him is key. So I'm going to look a bit at this image of pruning the vine. If anyone's ever grown a vine, it does take a lot of work. And it takes a few years before you get what would be described as a full harvest. So this vine here, in the first year, you get some healthy leaves and no fruit, and it's chopped right back to the buds before any of those leaves. And in the second year, there's some fruit and several more shoots, and it's cut back to just one branch, one focus. And you're starting to think, well, all that root, all that growth is wasted. And it comes back in abundance. And still yet, all those shoots are pruned right back to focus on certain directions and certain paths. And the next year, it'll be even more fruitful. It seems quite harsh, in a way. And I think we can sometimes feel it's quite a difficult job to do, cutting away things from our lives that are stopping us being fruitful, stopping us having that relationship. In the passage, whole branches are cut away. If they are unfruitful, I think it's quite a stark warning that we are supposed to bear fruit. It's a job we have to do. You can't be in Christ, you can't be in relationship with him and not be fruitful. Being connected to him will result in being fruitful. So if you're hearing that word and not being fruitful, it's a bit the parable of the seed sower came to mind, where the seed falls on thorny ground or on the path and it doesn't bear fruit. There's a lot of factors you need. You need to stay connected to bear fruit or the branches will be cut away. And even fruitful branches are pruned back. And we need wisdom here, care and attention. I say there's a bit of knowledge in pruning a vine so it will have its most bountiful fruit. And that wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. It means we need to really trust him, really trust his care and attention in our lives and knowing what needs to be cut away so that fruit can be at its best. We need to let go of those things that are holding us back, so that we can trust him to care for our lives. So we need to allow this pruning. It can be described as a decluttering, getting rid of sin. It's important to remember that we can trust God. And we can trust him beyond our understanding, if that makes sense. He can work in all things for good. Sometimes it feels like too much has been taken away from us, or maybe we've had too many hardships. But God can always work in those things. And I found a quote, and I'm afraid I didn't write who wrote it down. But it said, from those who have suffered hugely, most often comes the greatest fruitfulness. And it's quite important to feel that we can trust God. And I think remembering that even when you don't feel fruitful and you feel you're suffering and your branches may be withering, that he will be working in that always to his good, for his good and for his glory. So accepting God's pruning in our lives allows this fruit to flourish And it's a very specific fruit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. This fruitfulness is true to the vine because it's what we're rooted in. It's nourished by the Holy Spirit. And it reminded me of false fruits. People can feel they have fruitful lives. They've got a great job. They've got lots of money. Maybe they feel they're quite fruitful because they're quite moral. They're quite a good person. But these fruits that we see and we value in everyday life, money and status and exciting things like that, they're not true fruits of the true vine. They're not from the Holy Spirit. They're not to God's glory. Good fruit, really good grapes, need a good rootstock. Any vine dresser will tell you the rootstock is most important to have great fruit. And this good and holy fruit that we need to bear comes from good rootstock because it's rooted in Jesus Christ. In verse 5, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I think what he means is nothing for God, nothing that will bring God glory, nothing that will be everlasting. A branch separated from the vine will not grow fruit. We must stay attached to the vine, rooted in Christ. And just as bearing fruit is repeated many times, so is remaining in me, in Jesus, in the vine. Having a firm foundation, deep roots. I think it's about 7 times. There's an urgency here to remain in Christ Jesus, to continue in union with him. I looked up a bit of Greek. The verb meno is used loads more by John than any of the other disciples that wrote. He uses this verb, and it's got many meanings about remaining and staying, some for people, some for time, to continually be present with, to be remaining as one. And this, I think, is the crux of it all, because it's so much focus on being in Jesus, in his word, and in his love. And it reminded me of Jeremiah, where he tells us that blessed is he, he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Being rooted in Christ Jesus is essential to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit going in all directions with all disciples through the branches, because all these branches are rooted in one plant. All disciples, all Christians are rooted in this one true vine. This one Spirit flows through them all. So we must be firmly rooted in Christ to not only be fruitful, but so that our fruit is for God's glory. Verse 16 says, fruit that will last. Again, this isn't earthly fruit. It's not the fruit we sometimes look at and value in others, things that we crave from earth. This is holy grapes, essentially. They're eternal. It's going beyond ourselves, beyond our own lives. This fruit for God's glory, everlasting. Grown by the Holy Spirit, rooted in Christ Jesus, tended by God himself. This is what it means to be fruitful, and why nothing can be done apart from Jesus. No Christ-exalting good can be done apart from him. It's not possible. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you, in verse 4. It's a two-way relationship. We're not just in Jesus, he is in us. He reminds his disciples that yes, Physically, he won't be walking around with them, and the Holy Spirit will be counseling them, but he is in them. And he will remain in us if we remain in him. In Colossians, we read, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The riches of the mystery. This is it. The bountiful riches that we can hope for, that are everlasting. This mystery has been revealed to us through Christ Jesus. And it's that if we remain in him, he will remain in us. And that gives us the hope of glory. And our fruit will glorify God because Jesus is in us. His Spirit is in us. And he desires that. In 11, he says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you." He knows what a rich and full life we will have if he is in that life with us. So, Jesus is in us. His joy is in us. And in 7 and 8, he says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory." So if Jesus is in us, his joy is in us, his words are in us. He's just told the disciples the Holy Spirit will help to remind them of his teachings. They'll be in them. And things will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory. In 16, again, he says, "The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." So this isn't come up with a wish list and I'll give you what you like. This is when you're living in me and I in you, and your desires will reflect my words in your life and my joy in your life, then all things are possible because you ask of the Father, and it will bring the Father glory because you're living in me and I'm living in you. So when we ask in Jesus' name, when we ask for things that will glorify God, they will be given to us. And this word ask, we can replace with pray. Here's our next top tip. This is a command to remain in conversation with Jesus. Do ask for things. Do pray. Remember his teachings and talk to him about them. Talk to Jesus. Ask of things. Pray to him. This is how we can use that Holy Spirit to help us bear fruit, to help give us counsel, to help us understand Jesus' teachings. We use the Holy Spirit by praying, by asking. It's our top tip again for daily Christian living. Pray. So just as branches receive nutrients from the plant, from the roots, pray and expect to be nourished. If you're rooted in Christ Jesus and you're praying for the Holy Spirit, expect the Holy Spirit. Expect nothing less. Expect to be sustained by Jesus. Don't try to do it by yourself. The fruits you bear on your own aren't eternal, aren't rooted in Jesus, in his word, in his joy. You either won't bear fruit or you'll bear false fruit, not from God and not for his glory. To fully rely on God, remain rooted in Jesus, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to make you fruitful. Christ in you, the fruit of glory. It shines through. If you're rooted in Jesus, it will be reflected in your daily life, in how you interact with others. Your fruit will reflect God's glory and be a sign of it to others. Verse 8, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is how the world will know Jesus' love for us, God's love for us, because they'll see it in our living, in our discipleship. We'll be shown God's glory. We'll be shown we are rooted in Christ's love. And who gets the glory for an abundant harvest? We think back to a real vine and a really tasty bunch of grapes or a great bottle of wine. Who gets the credit? It's not the branch that the grapes grew on. It's not even really the plant. It's the vine dresser, the farmer. Compliments to the farmer, the gardener. He's chosen that good rootstock and nourished it. He's tended the plants so they are healthy and productive. This fruit on this true vine is from God. So it glorifies him. So we need to remember to give the glory to God. When we are fruitful, it's for his glory. We need to give the glory back to God. That's why when we pray, when we ask it in Jesus' name, to God's glory. We're not relying on our own strength. Therefore, don't blow your own trumpet. Be fruitful for God's glory. Be fruitful through being deep-rooted in Christ Jesus and praying for the Holy Spirit to give you power. If you give everything back to God, give the glory back to God, you will be more fruitful. And the second half of this chapter we're looking at is one great big command: to love each other. We're remaining in Christ Jesus, remaining in his words, his teachings, his joy will be in us. And he says, his love, remain in his love. And this is so our joy will be complete. To live in his love, to call him our friend, be rooted in him, results in loving each other. We can't live in Christ's love and not love each other. Verse 12, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Verse 17, this is my command: love each other. He says it again, repetition reinforces. It all comes back to this love. Whilst the branches are individual, whilst all these branches are going in different directions and bearing different fruits and experiencing different gifts, they are all rooted in Jesus and rooted in his love. And to love not only him, but each other, because they share that one love. You can't be in Jesus' love and not love others. To be truly fruitful and bear God's holy fruit, we must love Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and each other. It's made explicitly clear. So when I got to the end of my thoughts, I like to go back and make sure they made sense and summarize for you. And I've got a very cheesy conclusion. I do apologize. But it just happened. I was writing down what I've got out of this. And it came up with an acronym. Now, some people find them cheesy. Some people find them helpful. If it's not helpful, you don't need to use it. But when you're farming crops, as opposed to livestock, it's arable farming. Yielding a harvest as an arable farmer. And to bear fruit, we must accept God's tending in our lives. We must remain in Jesus, in his word, in his love. We must ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. And then we will bear fruit and give the glory to God. Love each other as Jesus loves us. And this will be eternally. As I said, this is fruit that lasts. This is forever. This is thy kingdom come. Living rooted in Jesus, powered by the Spirit, in conversation with God and communion with each other, loving each other as Jesus loves us. That's not just for now, that's eternal. So I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your awesome power. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and that through him, his death, his resurrection, we can live a fulfilled life, complete in his joy, and powerful in his love. And we pray now, we ask that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us to overflowing, that the fruit that we bear will be from you and give you glory. And bless others in Jesus' name. And love others with Jesus' love. Amen.